Today's episode of The Wretched Hive is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/hive. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Welcome to The Wretched Hive Podcast.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Moss Eisley Spaceport.
What are you talking about?
You will never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
This is ridiculous.
We must be cautious.
Actually, we're just a bunch of guys talking about Star Wars and other stuff.
I'm looking forward to having some real talk with some real folks.
That's good news.
I like the sound of that.
You know, normally in April, I'm excited because it's baseball season.
Baseball season and our birthday season.
It is, and it's also solo season.
Oh, yeah.
It is solo season in the Star Wars universe. There is so much going on with Han Solo, and we are going to cover it all for you on this episode of the Wretched Hive Podcast for Friday, April 27th, 2018, episode number 60. We hit another milestone this week, guys. 60 episodes of the show proper. My name is Steve Baldwin, and almost all the Hive is with us tonight. We're going to start it off, as we always do, with the Wookiee co-pilot, Greg Lent!
Stevie B, Scotty E, Davey P, you guys are the hot new boy band, and you are Baldwin Pot, I guess.
I like that.
Baldwin Potsky is what we're going to call you guys.
The
Baldwin
hot... Potsky. Maybe we should be the Jamesons.
Ooh. The Jamesons, maybe that's what it is. I am looking forward because tonight I understand you're going to bust out the Kodachrome. We've got a slideshow coming up, guys. That's right.
We do.
Excellent.
We do.
We do. We've got lots of pictures to share. We got some pictures to share. Also on the show, he is a lifelong Star Wars fan, Scott Ivanski.
Oh, Steve, thank you so much. I want to say something real quick to the fans out there. I feel like I've been letting you down. I really do. I apologize.
How so?
I have not been talking about my wonderful Jameson.
This segment of the show sponsored by Jameson's.
Black Barrel Edition.
Black Barrel Edition tonight. Crack that open earlier tonight, too. That's a brand new bottle.
Crack it open again.
Nice.
Yes.
All right.
I do appreciate how you held that up for the camera that nobody can see.
Oh, I'm posting it all over Facebook, man.
And just so you know, this is an audio show. You know
what? That.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody tells me this.
I know. He's been making faces on the camera all these years.
2 years.
I know.
Oh.
And
we need to start making some Facebook living in this shit. Maybe that's what we need to do. Is like Facebook.
We've done that. We've done that.
Finally.
Have we?
We have.
What is that? A monkey cage?
Dave.
Anti-shark cage.
Under no circumstances.
Cage goes in the water.
Should you ever.
You go in the water.
And I mean.
Sharks in the water. Our shark.
Call him.
We're going to need a bigger boat.
Harry.
Donut.
Potter.
Da-da-da-da.
Nice. I swear to God, you guys rehearsed this before I get on the line.
I was not expecting...
More and more elaborate.
I was not expecting Rob Halford to show up and do that little moment, but that was great.
Yeah, I was inspired. I don't know, it was the Jaws theme. I don't know, I was inspired. I'm not sure why.
That was a show with everything but Yul Brynner. Anyway, good evening, good morning, good afternoon to all of you, wherever, whenever, and however you are listening. Thank you to my favorite rebel scum, Steve Baldwin, for the introductions.
And very welcome, sir.
I am excited. I am jazzed because I know it's Solo, but it is also Infinity War week.
Oh, man.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
Do we have some news on that, too?
That movie, by the time this episode drops, that movie is in theaters, and I think we're all there right now watching it, actually.
You know, I am off on Friday. Ooh, I could go see that during the day.
Yeah.
I have tickets for Saturday. The missus and I have tickets for Saturday afternoon at a matinee.
Nice.
Nice.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah, big weekend.
And Thanos demands no spoilers. I'm counting on you.
I'm going to just predict. What do you say? What's the highest grossing weekend now? It's 220. Is that it? Let's go.
248, The Force Awakens.
The Force Awakens, 248. I'm going to say it's going to be about 220, 225.
Can we call our shot right now?
Yeah, I'm calling.
Right, 220, 221, whatever it takes.
Okay, so Scott, 225. Scott says 225. Greg, what say you?
I'm going to say 255.
Ooh, okay. Sets a new record. All right. And Dave?
I am going to say 232.
232. I am going to say $1.
This is not the Price is Right, sir.
Oh, crap. All right. I will say...
I guess the question, though, that we're looking... Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I thought you were guessing a dollar.
No, I will say I'm going to go 243. No, 247. Just shy of The Force Awakens. All right. Go ahead, sir.
So I guess the bigger question now, because Black Panther... which, phenomenal movie. If you haven't seen it, go out and see Black Panther.
Absolutely.
Is, I guess officially now, was it the third highest grossing movie of all time?
Yes. Domestic at least, right?
Domestic U.S.
Yes.
Domestic
wow.
U.S.
Wow.
So will how much... it do better than Black Panther? That's a huge question.
That's you mean overall box office run, not just opening weekend?
Yeah, not overall. Because Black Panther opened phenomenally... but not like record breaking.
Right.
Before we answer that, I got to say really quick, definitely not on the show tonight is the captain of the Millennial Falcon. So close. He could not make it on the show tonight and sends his regards. Anyway, had to get that out of the way.
You want to know what the problem is though, right? Cuz we had him here last week, but he's back on the he's on a mix of trail mix and hand lotion. It's called toilet brittle. Really, really kind of messed him up there.
Wow.
Don't mess with the toilet bowl.
I know for a fact he wrote that in the last 2 minutes. Yes, I did. Anyway, that was pretty good. Strong.
That was good. That was
anyway,
strong.
Sorry. So so the question is, will this movie, Avengers Infinity War, will it surpass Black Panther on opening weekend and... total box office? Is that what we're asking?
Yeah, definitely. Okay. It definitely will opening weekend. Definitely okay. Will. Yeah. Because like Greg said, I don't think it... I mean, it did
what was it, 220 something on opening weekend, right?
3-day opening weekend, $202 million.
Oh, 202. Right. Okay.
So I really feel it's going to pass that up. Mm. I think we all do.
Yeah.
Although your chart right there makes it look like, Steve, it says 1 billion.
That was my initial
oh, yeah.
Response of
the $1. The way it's laid out there. It just
and then Greg reminded me that I'm not on The Price is Right.
So it's going to make $1.2 billion on opening week. Yeah,
exactly. Well, if you have ever made $202 million on an opening weekend, give us a call and let us know how you did it. Our Wretched Hive hotline is 562-455-4483. That's 562-455-HIVE.
That's, in case you can't spell hive.
Thank you. That's goddamn right. And you can also find us online. We're angry. We're the angry hive tonight.
Apparently.
You can find us online at www.thewretchedhive.net. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/wretchedhivepodcast. You can tweet at us at wretchedhivepod. And don't forget, we now have an app. Go to the Apple iTunes store, the App Store. Search for the Wretched app. Download it. It costs nothing. And you can stream the show, look at all the show notes, play clips from the show, and all sorts of fun stuff. So go check that out.
And screw you, Android users. Screw you right in the, you know what.
On the keister, right. We're working on that. Sorry, Android users, especially...
Nope, screw you, Android users.
All right, screw them.
We are angry tonight. That's I love right. this.
I am not sorry.
And by the way, we've been putting stuff on Instagram, the Wretched Hive 77 on Instagram. So
nice.
Have a look at that when you can.
Please.
All right, so before we get into the news, we've got some activities to share with you. First of all, don't forget, next weekend... Friday is May 4th, That is May the 4th be with you, big fan holiday. And May 3rd, we will be at Timeless Pints Brewery in Lakewood, co-hosting along with Mr. Ken, bartender there at the Wretched Hive. Wow. That's what they're calling it now.
Can we just get them to change the name to the Wretched Hive?
Wouldn't that be fantastic? The official podcast
of the Wretched Hive.
You know what? They should be the Wretched Hive for that night.
Yeah.
They should rename Timeless Pints the Wretched Hive. That would be awesome. But it is at Timeless Pints in Lakewood. Also on the app, you can get the address for Timeless Pints. Oh, yeah. Thank you all. We'll take some of that. And it's going to be a fun night. Understand that Dave will be covering for that night. Is that Dave? You still in?
I am still in.
Beautiful, beautiful. And it's going to be a fun
normally
night.
I don't get that question a lot.
That's what she said. Now, Ken, bartender at good old Timeless Pints over there, best beer in Southern California, has some prizes. He's already lined up prizes. And get this, he was able to procure. See, I should not be drinking this whiskey with you. This is not good. We're barely into the show. I already can't speak.
I'm passing the bottle around.
He has a set of the IMAX posters that were given away from The Force Awakens.
Oh,
and he's going to be giving those out to the winners.
Force Awakens or The Last Jedi?
I think it was from The Force Awakens. Not the most recent set.
Oh, my God. I love those posters. Those are some great posters.
They're super cool. Great, great artwork.
That's the collage where they're all flying upwards, right? I was there at the IMAX.
Yeah, these are like the hand-drawn ones. There's different colors. Yeah. And they're really super awesome.
Okay.
He's got a set of those, and I think he's got some other stuff. Also, come in your Star Wars t-shirt or costume, and you get a discount on your first beer.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So it's going to be
too bad he's not giving away a copy of The Last Jedi on Blu-ray. Scott could play and try and win one. Then he can complain he hasn't bought it still.
I do have an update on that for tonight. We'll talk about
it. Oh, I can't wait to get to it. So
the irony of that, though, is Scott would have to answer a trivia question about The Last Jedi in order to win The Last Jedi.
That's right.
Oh, man.
I think Scott has an insider scoop on those trivia questions. I'm not sure. But so that's one bit of news. The other bit of Wretched Hive news that I have to share is that my birthday, I turned 50 a couple weeks ago, and my good friend Chris, who is like the fifth Beatle of the Wretched Hive, he's like the Pete Best of the Wretched Hive, I was calling
him
this weekend.
Wouldn't he be the sixth Beatle?
Well, technically it would be the sixth
in this case.
Beatle of the Wretched Hive, something like that. And Dave, Chris and Dave and I took a trip up north. We went to Petaluma, beautiful wine country, Sonoma County, Petaluma, California, and we took a tour of Rancho Obi-Wan.
Oh, man.
It was fantastic. And we haven't prepped this at all, Dave. I haven't talked to you since we got back on Sunday, but I just thought we would riff a little bit. Dave, what were your impressions of Rancho Obi-Wan?
Can we call this the Wretched Field Trip? Can we call it that?
Yes. Oh, man, we need to take more Wretched Field Trips. I'll tell you that. So, yeah. Dave, what are your impressions? What are your lasting impressions of Rancho Obi-Wan?
Of Rancho Obi-Wan? So it was a little different from what I expected. I want to be honest about that. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about memorabilia being more explicitly limited to official products. You know, think toys, tie-ins, movie props, things of that nature. And getting there, you discover that the curator of the museum, the owner of the museum, he's actually very interested and has become very focused over time on getting fan-made stuff as well. And I was a little skeptical of that, but walking through the exhibit and seeing what he does and how he preserves things and how he selects things that are maybe not, you know, not official Lucasfilm products for preservation, it's really, really cool. And he has a fantastic mix from the early beginnings. I mean, some of the things that were on display there, he has on loan currently the first drawings that Ralph McQuarrie did for Star Wars for George Lucas. The first like three drawings that he did as concept sketches.
Wow.
And he also has, and Scott and Greg in particular I think will appreciate this, a banner hanging on the wall that's an old school, you know, pre-finalized movie Star Wars logo. And it's doubly significant because that is the banner that was there marketing swag, their booth decoration for the 1976 San Diego Comic-Con.
Yes. Do you remember that? You've seen the logo, the triangle logo with Luke like this?
Oh, yeah.
That's hanging up on the wall.
With then Luke Starkiller, with Star Wars in a non-traditional lettering.
Right.
But that's what they had at the 76 Comic-Con when they were there hawking Star Wars and the forthcoming Marvel comic to try to drum up interest in it. And this was before San Diego Comic-Con was what it is today, which is an over-the-top orgy of film and TV tie-ins. It was just literally, you know, two cardboard, you know, folding card tables stuck together with that banner taped on the front of it and a couple of guys sitting there. I'm pretty sure they were the producers for Star Wars.
Yes.
Just handing out crap.
Yeah.
And that banner, as it turns out, was hand-painted by Ralph McQuarrie.
Oh, wow. Man.
They had McQuarrie come to Rancho Obi-Wan at one point before his death, and he walked in and said, "Oh, yeah, I remember that." And that banner is now, according to the docent that gave us the tour, that is probably the thing that the curator of the museum, Steve, that's probably the thing he would run in to save if he could pick one thing to save in the event of a fire.
Oh, yeah.
And by the curator of the museum, we're talking about Steve Sansweet, longtime Lucasfilm executive.
Yes.
Was the director of fan relations at Lucasfilm, worked directly for George Lucas for 15 years, and left in 2010 or 12. He's written, I think, 17 or so Star Wars books about collecting, the definitive books about collecting the 3¾ action figures.
Yep, I have those. They're wonderful.
Yep. He wrote a wonderful book that I've got. It's like a coffee table book. It's about an inch thick and, I don't know, 12 by 18 or something, about the prequels. Just a wealth of Star Wars history and knowledge. And he came out at the end of our tour and greeted everyone.
I was going to ask if you met him.
We got to meet him. There was about 12 of us on the tour. He shook everyone's hand. Dave wore his Wretched Hive t-shirt that day.
Oh,
and
dude.
Steve Sansweet looked at Dave and said, "Ah, the Wretched Hive podcast."
What?
Yep.
What?
Yes, he recognized it. He recognized Dave wearing the shirt. And Dave said, "Yeah, I do the show with him." And he pointed at me. And we started talking and talked to him all about the show and what we do on the show.
Please.
And I have a little surprise bumper to play for you later that he recorded for us.
Oh, no way.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
So,
super nice guy.
Literally, what happens is one section at the end is an arcade museum of of as many Star Wars pinball machines and video games as they can find. And Scott and Greg, help me out on this. I am sure you remember the original Star Wars kind of stand-up arcade game where you're an X-Wing fighter pilot and you're shooting through a bunch of TIE fighters and then it throws you on the Death Star.
Please.
There is also
all the wireframe animation.
Yeah.
Wait.
Yeah.
Please tell me you're going to be talking about the Return of the Jedi stand-up game.
No, they didn't have that, but they did have an Empire Strikes Back stand-up game that I've never seen before in my life, and I didn't know existed.
Yeah. I didn't either.
And they told me that the reason it is not as well known is that they only made it available to places that already had the Star Wars game. And so a lot of places passed on it because they had the space for one, and they were doing well with the original Star Wars game, so they weren't gonna switch it out.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And it took me – I played the Star Wars game a couple times, and it took me a round to kind of get used to the physics again. But while I'm over there playing it, trying to relearn the physics and not get shot out of the sky by TIE fighters, Steve, like, runs up to me with his iPhone, jams it in my ear, and I hear Steve Sanscrift, like, talking about the Wretched Hive in my ear. And I'm like, okay, that's great, Geek Boy, but I'm trying to not embarrass myself right now. Can you please
– Well, this is what you heard, Dave.
This is Steve Sansweet of Rancho Obi-Wan, and you're listening to the Wretched Hive podcast.
How cool is that? Oh, my God, dude. I just broke out into tears right now.
I sell that, too. That's pretty sweet.
I was floating on cloud nine for hours after that.
Seriously.
I mean, the guy, this is like Star Wars royalty.
Oh.
Such a nice guy. Okay. I have to mention, also, in addition to Mr. Sansweet, General Manager Ann Newman, was there,
and Vice President, I think,
and our docent Mark Morita,
okay,
who has since become our friend on Facebook as well.
Oh, so cool!
Super wonderful, nice people. And I have to back up one second. This thing is, you know, they call it Rancho Obi-Wan. It's literally on a working ranch. Yeah. You walk up and there's chickens.
Yeah. Steve drove by it three times, by the way.
Well, there's just a flagpole.
Even knowing where it was on time two and three. Oh, I just drove by it, huh?
Well, they tell you
drive
not to...
7 minutes from the country road before you can do a U-turn and come back.
They tell you not to go until 2 o'clock, and so I was anxious to get there. So like 20 till, I'm like open, you know, driving around trying to waste time.
Are you telling me the chickens weren't wearing Star Wars or Rancho Obi-Wan
shirts? No, the chickens
shirts?
Were chickens.
Okay, were they porgs out on the ranch? Were there any porgs on the ranch?
There were no live porgs.
We considered some porg jokes, but we weren't as comfortable as we got later with Anne at that point. But okay. So from there, you walk in, and there's a hallway lined with old movie posters.
Yeah.
And there were some stories that Mark was able to tell us about the posters. There was one poster that was there that was released on the one-year anniversary of Star Wars being in the theater. So it's a movie poster. It's a birthday cake.
With C-3PO.
Yeah.
And R2-D2.
And it's a blue and white birthday cake, yep. And 3PO and R2 are there.
With more than that.
Yeah, the 3¾ action figures are standing around it. Yeah. And that cake was actually made by a bakery in Los Angeles.
We've
got to find out where that is.
Yes.
And so you enter the main hall of the museum, and it's all sort of like the Star Wars Lucasfilm branded stuff. And we spent about an hour and a half going through all the shelves and all the minutiae. There's just nooks and crannies. It's just packed full of amazing things. And then you go into another little room that has like, I don't know, I can't even describe what's in there. Just like, oh, that's where the vinyl caped
Jawa
was there.
Oh yes.
And then you had the missile firing.
You're speaking my language. God.
Steve and I sound like the cast of Goonies at the end of it, where we're trying to explain the adventure to all the adults, and it's just a bunch of random, crazy stuff.
Okay, I know you guys got a million things to say, but I've got a million things to say to you guys, and I need to jump in because I'm going to lose track of all this. All
right,
Dave, I'm going to jump back over here.
Yeah.
Okay, let me take a deep breath and a big swig of Jameson's. Here we go. Okay, so the first part of this, I just want to back this up just a bit. You are in that room where you see that banner. That banner was from the 1976 San Diego Comic-Con. Mm-hmm. There are famous photos, and these are also... That was the Comic-Con that nobody knew what Star Wars was, obviously. And they were passing out that famous first poster that is such a collectible nowadays. Oh, my God. There it is. Look at that. Oh, my God. We need to post this stuff.
We will be sharing this stuff on our various social media threads for sure.
I'm having a porgasm over here, people.
So, Scott, I just sent you a picture of the one-year anniversary poster, and there was a trivia contest where they were giving out little pins if you could answer the docent's questions.
Okay.
And his question was, this poster has all of the Kenner action figures on it except one. Can you name the action figure?
Of the original?
And Steve and I were both like, man, it's a good thing Scott wasn't here because he would just be collecting all the pins and all the
– Yep.
Yeah. All the tchotchkes.
Okay, the original release, the first ones, I would say – looks like Greedo is missing.
That is not the correct answer.
Really?
That's not the answer we're looking for.
The correct answer is a Jawa is what's missing.
I was going to say, I would need to see the picture. I don't remember all the characters that were on there, but you already gave away the answer. So.
Yeah, sorry. You're right. I'm so sorry. Greedo is part of the second wave. I totally forgot. Oh, my God. That was.
And then I also just sent a picture just for you, Scott. And actually, it's for you too, Greg. But it's the shelf in the library that is, as near as I could tell, where all of the early printings of the Han Solo trilogy were stored.
I still have those. That looks like my bookshelf right there. That is, oh my God.
Oh, and we did find the Courtship of Princess Leia on the bookshelves as well. We did. Yeah, he's got multiple copies.
Oh,
you took it out and you just shat right on it.
took a piss right on page 50. Just drop trowel right there.
Oh my God.
Woo, so let me continue just walking you through so you get a sense of the rest of the museum. So from the room with the figures and the other cased items, you go upstairs to a hallway that looks like you're in the Tantive IV. It's like this white hallway. Those doors open, and then you're in the sort of like fan art section.
Okay.
And which is, you've got I mean, there's just so much in there. Where do you even begin? Yeah. There's the customized Vader and Stormtrooper helmets that, you know, like Filoni did one for charity. They were selling them for charity.
Oh.
All those are in there. That's where the Macquarie piece is.
Stormtrooper helmets or Vader helmets?
Both.
Okay, because they did that at the 2007 Celebration 4 art.
Yeah.
People would come in and do art pieces on those helmets. Amazing
right.
stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. There's just too much. We'll post these pictures. Now that I'm ready to talk about it on the show, I'm drawing a blank. But there's just a ton of stuff, and so much of it has just been. There's just a sense of tender, loving care with the entire place. It's just there's so much passion and love there for the Star Wars universe that it was overwhelming. It was just. Phenomenal. And at the same time, it felt very much like home.
Yeah, it's a mix of stuff. I mean, there are sections of it that you just look like you're in Scott's garage because it's just shelves and it's just a bunch of stuff on shelves. And the guy, you know, the docent will just start pulling things off. And they were in a fan-made action figure section, which I loved because he pulls out the Aunt Beru Skeletal Remains action figure and he shows it to
us.
And there was another one that was the 3754 action figure of Samuel L. Jackson.
And then you had the severed limbs action figures.
That's awesome.
Which was awesome because it was just Count Dooku's head and hands, and that was it.
did they have the ice cream maker dude from Cloud City in there somewhere?
They probably did. We didn't get to see all of them. Nice. There was also Gary, Carrie Fisher's dog, and there was a Force Ghost Princess Leia, Forever Our Princess.
Oh, that was
on
awesome.
There too.
I'm showing.
So, okay,
just for people wanting to go see this, Steve, I think that correct me if I'm wrong, but the tour is free, but you have to be a member of his of the society or something like that. You have to subscribe to his website or something like that.
Well,
that
so
right?
What you do is you become a benefactor of Rancho Obi-Wan, which is like $40 a year. It's minimal the cost of that. Then you do pay for the tour. And I think it was $75.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I signed up after we got back because I, you know, it's $50 a year.
Oh, 50.
It's worth it to preserve this stuff. Yeah. If you're a Star Wars fan, even if you're not going to go there anytime soon, it's $50 a year. It is a wonderful charitable contribution to help preserve this stuff for other fans and for yourself because someday you may be able to go.
Tax deductible.
You can only get tickets if you are a member.
And they are a nonprofit. They're a fully nonprofit museum. It's a tax write-off.
Okay, back this up. I want to clarify this. There is an official Hasbro action figure for Ice Cream Man, Greg.
Okay, that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah,
it's out there. I know it's out there.
Yeah, so that's terrifying to me, but it is out there.
So do we want to tell the other kind of story at the end of it, Steve, or is that an off-air story?
I think I'm going to hold that one to be off-air until it's official.
Okay.
But we've got some other news.
Oh.
So we'll hold off.
We want to talk about the road trip portion of it real quick.
Sure. Yes. Go ahead.
Damn it, for the last time, I'm not coming on your stupid show.
Hey, George, bite it, okay?
So we're up in Northern California, and we know this is near Skywalker Ranch, even though none of us knows where it is. So on a lark, I typed in Skywalker Ranch to Apple Maps to see what would happen, and lo and behold, it told me it was a 15-minute drive from where we currently were. So, of course, Steve Baldwin, because it's his birthday, wheels the car around.
Yes.
Like I was going to let that go. Style. Come on.
And we go driving through the middle of nowhere, Northern California. And I used to live in that you know, Central California, kind of in that area. So it wasn't a shock to me. But listening to Steve and Chris just be like, oh, my God, where are we? It was fantastic. And then you get there. It leads you right up. You pull into the little gate area. There's some very polite but plainly marked private no trespassing signs on the gate.
Which promptly ignored, right?
Oh, no, I did not because were, by my count, at least three cameras there. And since I didn't have a Wookiee with a blaster to take them out, I knew that I would be in trouble if I jumped over that gate, even though we were technically on Lucasfilm property at that point in time. There were no trespassing signs where we were standing. I could only get in legal trouble if I moved past the private property no trespassing posted.
Yeah. Someone's in the Dave or Chris are in the car. Like, we're all fine here. We're fine. How are you? Are you? How you're just doing the whole routine?
But because I'm sure we're not the first, you know, middle-aged people to think of this, we were able to physically check in on Facebook at Skywalker Ranch without doing anything. You just I open it up. It's like check in. It's like looks like you're at Skywalker Ranch. And I was like, yes, I am.
And then of course I had to do the obligatory fake photo of you and I standing in front of the ranch itself that I messaged to the guys, and
I don't think that's
they
fake.
Caught immediately that it was not an actual photo that we took.
I thought it was a good attempt for being done on the phone, but not sorry, Scott.
I've had top Photoshop researchers looking into this. I can't find the blue haze line around you guys. I think it's official. Can we call it official?
Sure, we'll call it officially done by me on the airplane on my iPhone on the way home.
Damn it.
I was working with you.
Well, all told, highly, highly recommend support Rancho Obi-Wan. For $50 a year, you can do a lot of good and be a good citizen of the Star Wars universe. And I'll tell you, going into this place, walking into that place and, coming out of it 3 hours later, it was like I had gone through my childhood again. I mean, there's so much cool stuff in there. And the people are so wonderful. Steve is wonderful. And Mark, it's just a great, great vibe. I highly recommend go and see Rancho Obi-Wan.
I got distracted there. I was going to say, I think that Steve Sansweet, he makes it a point to at least try and visit with most, if not all, of the tours that come through when he's in town, obviously. So it's cool that he comes out, and the guy started as a fan. So the guy started just like us, you know. So it's really cool that he's doing all this and is preserving all of it, and it's a really worthwhile cause. RanchoObiWan.org is the website. You guys should all go and check it out. Donate if you can.
Perfect.
I'm a little bit sad. I'm a lot sad that I was not able to go on this trip. Although there is one thing, I would probably have a little standoff moment with Steven. I have met Steven before at one of the previous conventions, and I would have a little battle on who has the bigger garage of junk.
Because... oh, guaranteed you've got the bigger garage of junk.
Junk, there you go.
No doubt about it. Yeah. No doubt. All right, guys, we got news to cover. Let's do it.
From ABC News World Headquarters, this is ABC World News Tonight.
No, it's not. It's Star Wars news with the Wretched Hive.
So be it.
Well, I said this was Solo season at the top of the show.
Oh, hell
and
yeah.
It is on... For Solo now, every day there's new stuff to talk about, and the last couple of weeks were no exception. Solo is now about a month away, and so we are in prime time for new Star Wars movie promotional opportunities.
And Lucas, 100% complete, too.
100% complete?
Yeah, the movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. We saw the tweet from Mr. Howard, Ron Howard. Over the weekend, and I think actually it was finished the day we were there, Dave. I think they were mixing it down on Sunday.
We clearly had a lot to do with that.
That's right.
Can you imagine you guys are there and just Ron Howard comes running out to the gate? Everybody who's standing here, come on in and watch Solo with me.
George is behind him going, except for those guys. Potter!
Get them out of here!
Potter!
Get them on their stupid podcast.
Potter's never coming in here again.
Anyway. George loves me.
He does. So a couple of interesting stories about the promotional opportunities around Solo. So this story on theforce.net, Millennium Falcon replica making a 5-city tour. That's right. They're pulling the Falcon. They're flying the Falcon around, apparently.
Is this like the space shuttle? When they
I guess it is.
Oh, my God.
So I got all excited about this, and I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, yeah, for sure. L.A. has to be one of the cities, right? We're going to see the Falcon. Yeah. This says the next city is Highland Heights, Kentucky. So I don't know what this is about. I don't know if this is the Falcon or if it's a large Lego set or
is
something.
Is this the Force.net or is this the Onion?
This is the Onion, maybe.
Kentucky? Really?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I was about to say, do we need to revise our plans to steal the Millennium Falcon cockpit stand-up in the theaters and just steal this thing instead?
Oh. I do have a story about stealing the cockpit.
Oh, yeah.
Out of a place at Garden Grove, but we'll get to that. Oh. Oh my God.
On the Star Wars show last week were writers Kasdan and Kasdan. Mm-hmm. Larry Kasdan and his son. Oh, his son escaped. Oh, John. John Kasdan. And they talked about what it's like writing Solo together.
I'm really inspired by what I've heard.
Ah, wrong clip. Sorry, guys. I'll have to fix that.
But boy, that Kasdan. His son is really young to be writing this book.
Sorry. Let's try that. Let's try that again. I will edit it together. Here's Kasdan and Kasdan.
Solo, A Star Wars Story. Thank you so much for coming in.
Our pleasure.
Our pleasure.
Having written Empire and Jedi and then The Force Awakens, you have written the majority of Han's life here. And you were working on Solo previous to TFA, right?
That's right. When I agreed to do Solo, I said, I can't do this without John. He had helped us out on Force Awakens. He had been around the whole thing for a while. He had great ideas about Han. And I couldn't really face doing it myself without him.
Obviously, you...
So that was Larry Kasdan, and you got to check out the full interview on the Star Wars show. By the way, need to mention Little Cutie, Andy Gutierrez, host of the Star Wars show, wearing a Rancho Obi-Wan shirt. Nice. On this particular episode. Check it out. So I'm so stoked that Kasdan's writing this.
I am too.
In this interview, he talks about how he, of course, he's famous for, you know, famously writing Empire, mm-hmm. having a big hand in Empire, but he also did a lot of writing on Jedi that I did not realize that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We could argue that, though.
Oh, yeah?
There are some issues with Jedi, apparently, with our group.
Fake news.
We
fake
love
news.
The Jedi.
Fake news.
There was also this week a new TV spot released. I'm not going to play the whole thing, but you can find it yourself on theforce.net. Here, we'll play a little snippet.
You might want to buckle up, baby.
You're off to something. Is it revenge? Money? Or is it something else?
So some new stuff, some old stuff in there. You got to check it out. You can find it widely, of course, on YouTube, but we're looking at theforce.net. Here on the show tonight.
I gotta say, the action figure for her does not do her justice.
For Kira?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Her pictures, her shots, on she's beautiful. Just beautiful.
She's lovely.
Lovely lady.
Yeah. And the more I'm understanding about the plot, it seems as though she is like a childhood friend of Han rather than a love interest. I don't know. Are you guys getting that too, or...
Well, I think childhood friend, yes. Could still be love interest, though.
That's true.
Nothing to say he's never been in love before Leia.
True.
Except with Chewie, of course.
That's a fact. That's in the deleted scenes from A New Hope. There are Han and some girl kind of making out in the booth prior to...
Oh, yeah. I've seen that shot.
I thought you were going for Han and Chewie, but okay.
I was like, what deleted scene are you talking about?
Well, they do spend a lot of time in the cockpit, so...
Wow.
Oh,
zing!
You're 190? You look great.
See?
Maybe that's flirting.
Oh,
nice.
Damn.
Last week was also CinemaCon. In Vegas. Now, how come we haven't been to CinemaCon yet? Do you have to be in the industry to go to that?
You know, to be honest, I didn't even know it existed.
Because...
Greg, is that an industry event?
It is an industry event.
Okay.
Yeah, because Bob Iger was there, of course.
Bob Iger.
And he not only showcased the Solo trailer, he also played a significant portion of the Incredibles movie.
Oh, that's nice.
Aquaman was also shown there.
Okay.
So there's like a ton of stuff.
Okay, hold on.
Don't have any Aquaman lovers here on the show?
No, we do, but unfortunately it's part of the DC, whatever, cinema universe.
Oh, wrong. Sorry.
Dude, here's Aquaman. I hear he talks to fish.
Oh,
God. All right. Well,
Christine just pops through the door, by the way. It's like, are you talking about Aquaman?
Oh, yeah. Let's back this up for 1 second. Okay. Are we talking about Bob Iger? The man who purposely took...
I think I misspoke about Bob. Bob didn't talk about Aquaman, but Aquaman was showcased at CinemaCon. So my bad there.
But the Bob Iger. Let's emphasize this.
Bob Iger.
Okay. This is the man who is taking credit for Black Panther. Mm. That interview still does not sit well with me. Have you seen this? Have you guys seen this? I don't know.
I don't think I have.
Oh. He talks about how he's the one who made everything happen to get Black Panther. I mean, I get what he's trying to say, but the way he's saying it.
Was it at the shareholders meeting?
It was the shareholders. Okay. It's not this. Okay. It's a previous. Oh, my God. It's just Bob Iger. Thank you.
Well, I think it's pretty obvious the influence that, you know, a nearly 70-year-old white patriarch had on Black Panther to anybody who watches it.
So the clip that I heard was the shareholder meeting, and I'm sorry I don't have it here, but he says something like, we can't underestimate the impact of this movie, and
oh, no, this is not a pronoun thing. This isn't we, this is me. I am the one who spearheaded this to get this going, and I'm like, okay, Bob, you put us all to sleep, but now we're woke, okay? As the kids like to say, there's a problem with what you're saying, and I have a problem with it, and I'm sure a lot of other people do too. So, good on you.
I'm looking at the baby, and somehow I don't think you're the papa.
Yeah,
that's all I'm
saying. There you go. Thank you. I think a lot of people see, we would have been a great idea there, but I think he just took it the wrong way, and it rubs wrong with a lot of people.
I don't think I heard that.
Oh, yeah, it's not.
I need to find that.
You should see that clip. If you can get through it without falling asleep, that's the hardest part.
So but it's at the shareholder meeting, though.
Let's get back to more exciting news, like Aquaman.
Well, I'm just saying, CinemaCon sounds like a pretty awesome conference. We got to get out there.
Or a serious B-grade George Clooney movie.
All right, so now talking about Disney releases and George Clooney movies.
Disney releases?
It has nothing to do with
Where's our porn music?
Clooney.
Disney releases. There's a lot.
Sorry.
So at CinemaCon, Walt Disney released their schedule of movie releases between now and, 2020. So I'm just going to read down this list. There's some big news here. So check this out.
I got a lot to say, so please.
So this weekend, of course, we've already talked about it. We have the Avengers Infinity War, right? May 25th, we've got Solo.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Makes sense.
Don't have a date on this, but shortly after that, Incredibles 2.
Yes.
That my kids are already just jazzed about.
I think that's June, early July.
July. Okay. That's right. July 8th, I think, is the date.
All right. Then we've got Ant-Man versus Wasp.
No, not versus.
Oh.
Does it say versus?
And the Wasp.
It's a little grainy photo
partners,
here. Sorry about that.
They're probably lovers.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, now, who plays the Wasp? It's what's her name from Lost?
Yeah.
Evangeline Lilly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Nice pull.
Yeah. And correct me if I'm wrong. Is it Michelle Pfeiffer? She plays the original Wasp.
Michelle
right?
Pfeiffer is Janet Van Dyne.
Nice.
Wow.
Somehow, I think that Janet Van Dyne is not dead, as we were led to believe in the events of Ant-Man.
Right. Well, yes, we can
that
get
would
into
be
that.
A shocking turn of events if she was actually not dead.
A comic book character is not actually dead when they're thought to be dead. You're right. That has never been done before.
Treading new ground here. Breaking new ground.
All right, now this is where it gets exciting, guys.
Oh, yes.
All right, so we've got... Now we're in fall of 2018.
No, that's where it gets exciting.
Yeah, this is exciting.
You already skipped Deadpool, which is not on their calendar because it's not a Disney release, but you've already skipped Deadpool.
Well, it's not a Disney release. I'm reading the Disney releases here, Gregory.
Actually.
Well, when is Deadpool?
What about
hitting?
Jurassic Park?
No.
Is Jurassic Park on the list?
Deadpool?
Jurassic Park is a Universal release.
Time out, Greg.
This is just Disney.
No. Deadpool is technically Disney. They own 20th Century Fox.
Not
Not yet. The deal's not forecasted to close until like this time next year.
Okay,
not
but
until not until I mean the DOJ
right.
put the kibosh on the AT&T Time Warner deal. Oh. So
okay,
they gotta sort that one out first, and then Disney will figure out how they want to buy Fox.
Well, if Deadpool is doing a crossover event with The Walking Dead, you know we can just say it's a Disney film.
So
that is no lie. That actually has happened.
Mr. Iger actually mentioned that on the call as well, that they were going through the legalese and they expected to have it done soon.
Okay.
All right. So back to Disney releases. Now here we go. The Nutcracker and the Four Realms. Thought you guys would like that one. Also fall. Is that Ralph? Ralph Records the Internet?
It's the Wreck-It Ralph 2.
Oh, right, Wreck-It Ralph 2.
And you forgot Christopher Robin right there.
Oh sorry, Christopher Robin, summer of 2018.
Oh, my God.
Now, Mary Poppins Returns. Now, Mary Poppins is one of my favorite movies. I'm excited about that. Emily Blunt, right?
That might be good.
And Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Yes, it's going to be good. Then
Will
we've
Lin-Manuel
got,
Miranda do a horrible English accent, though?
I hope so.
I will take the over on that bet.
If he does... He, regardless, he will be in the room where it happens.
Well done. Well done, sir.
He's not going to throw away his shot. That's for damn sure.
No, he's not. He's not throwing away his shot.
I'm not able to pull any of it right now.
It's a great film. It's a great film.
Too much Black Label
with some bad dialect. Okay,
now here's a big one. Winter of 2018. Captain Marvel.
Yes. Who... Let's throw this out there. Do we think we're going to see a Captain Marvel introduction in Avengers?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Is it going to be in the film or one of the end sequences?
I think so. Do you guys want?
No.
Okay, I'm shutting up. I'm shutting up.
All right. Dave, we've experienced this before. Do not.
Shutting up.
Well, Nico's not on the show. I don't care if I'm spoiled. Throw it out there.
Did I pick up the cue at the right time, Greg, or was I too late?
No, you're fine. You're stopping where you're stopping where you're at a good point.
All right. Okay. All right. Slam on the brakes.
All right.
Okay. So after Captain Marvel, we've got Dumbo.
Please tell me it's live action.
I think it's a live action.
Oh,
I know.
What are you going to do, remake the animated movie?
But this is what's killing me about Disney. Look, I'm a lover and a hater of Disney. You know that. You guys know that, right? But this live action thing, stop it with some of these.
Oh, there's more.
I know. I'm looking at the list. I'm freaking
coming.
Out over this.
Okay. All right. So then spring of 2019, Disney Nature Penguins.
Mm.
Okay. Spring of also of 2019, of untitled Avengers film.
Right, they put it to an untitled.
Yep.
They said that if they put the title, they have the title, they've said if they put the title out there, it would spoil the current movie. So
right.
They are leaving it untitled until this movie is released.
So
they've also said, Kevin Feige was like, okay, we said that, and yes, it's true, but really, everybody's blowing it way out of proportion. Just sit back, relax, it'll be fine. Stop.
Okay.
Going crazy.
Can I say it? That sound. It might be a spoiler thing if I say it. Can I say it or not? Dave?
That you have a theory?
You can say who you think it is.
Of the title, yeah.
Greg, do you want to entertain Scott's theory?
I want Scott to shut the hell up.
All right, so shut the hell up. All right,
there we go.
Let's move on because the next one's big. Spring of 2019, Disney's Aladdin.
Oh, yeah.
I assume another
live action.
Live action, I'm
assuming.
Yeah,
that's one with that Will Smith is taking over the genie role, right? Will Smith?
Who's going to play the freaking monkey? That's all I want to know.
You are, Scott.
I
hear the
so.
Fucking monkey.
Yeah.
I know who's going to be the monkey. You know who's going to be the monkey?
Who?
Bob Iger.
There you go.
it's not going to be Mini-Me, I'll tell you that.
Too soon. Dave.
Oh,
damn you, Dave. All right.
But
spoiler.
You know, his life was so short.
Oh, man.
You got to joke about it a little bit.
He is peeing off a scooter in the sky somewhere right now.
Both fingers up, too. Fingers up while he's doing it. Spring of 2019 also, immediately following Aladdin, we've got Toy Story 4.
Yeah. I've known that's been in the works for a while.
Followed by...
Jesus.
Scott's excited about this one. He's already wiggling with joy.
Yes, I am. That,
or wiggling with something. The Lion King.
Hey, I've got an idea, Steve. And yes. Bob Iger, wherever you are. Mm. Let me,
Bob Iger.
Let's just put this out there. Let's do a Dumbo and Lion King mashup and have a buddy cop movie. That would be great. Oh, we're knocking.
Knock over the mic.
Okay, no more Jameson.
So Favreau's doing the Lion King movie. Favreau did the Jungle Book live-action movie that came out last year? Two years ago?
Which was amazing, by the way.
Yeah, really? I never saw it, but I heard it was really good.
Really good.
So really good. It's got Favreau. It's got Beyonce.
yeah.
I'm out.
It's John Oliver's in it. It sounds like it could be okay. Are we going to give it a chance, Scott? Can we give it a chance?
Okay.
Are you going to pre-hate it more or less than you hate The Last Jedi right now?
You had me at Jon Favreau, and then you went with Beyonce, and I'm like, I don't care.
What you got about, it's about Scott, Beyonce.
You Lady Gaga. What's your problem with Beyonce?
What?
Yeah, you're a fan of Debbie Gibson. How can you hold out on Beyonce?
Dude, do not even fuck with my Debbie Gibson. What are you, crazy? You are crazy. Dave just jumped. Jump the
I'm
crazy
just saying
train.
You might not be in a position to judge people. That's all I'm saying.
It's a mall tour coming to your neighborhood.
Albeit
this summer.
Los Cerritos Mall.
last three here. Artemis Fowl.
Okay.
This is summer 2019. Disney Frozen 2.
Oh, God.
Electric Boogaloo.
Who liked that, honestly?
And some movie called Episode 9. From Star Wars.
Star Wars.
Yeah, right. There you go.
Back to Frozen. Every 11-year-old girl in the world liked Frozen.
You know
Scott,
what? My problem... It. Yeah, I know. You know the problem with Frozen for me was it was one of those things where I was not into the Disney films anymore, where I normally would have probably seen it in the theaters.
Yeah.
And after... I mean, it was months after... one of our friends, a mutual friend, this friend of ours named Lori, I think you guys know her, She kept coming over and like, hey, you got to see this, you got to see this. And we finally put it on, and it was so hyped up. And I'm just like, wow, that was underwhelming. Like, I was not, I don't know. I mean, I'm like, oh, Disney, here's a process for you. Let's kill off both parents this time and sing about a goddamn snowman. All right. This is wow.
I didn't find it offensive. I thought it was all right. I mean, I wasn't offended that I watched it. There's been some Disney films that I've just cringed the whole way through, but no, this was not one of those. I thought this was okay.
Yeah.
So Scott, you are hating on Beyonce and Frozen in like a 60-second segment on the show.
Yeah, we're getting haters tonight, guys. Wow. I'm sorry.
I think you just need to let it go.
Jeez, you're on fire tonight. Fire.
If I keep this up, I'm going to find a way to shake your love, Scott.
Oh, my God. Somebody ate their Cheerios this morning. That was good.
Don't you dare pull a Debbie Gibson reference on me. Oh, I know where you live.
I got to go back to CinemaCon really quick. This is there was a little trend I noticed among the interviews that came out of CinemaCon. And this is I'm going to let you guys try to identify the trend. This is Steven Spielberg talking about his movie Ready Player One.
Well, I think just the level of technology that we now have available to us that allows amazing artists at ILM and Digital Domain to have put what you're going to see on the screen on the screen. I mean, I've seen a lot, starting way back with my friend's movie Star Wars, George Lucas. I've seen, I saw the rough cut of that with just a couple of visual effects in. And from a movie like that up to a movie like this with a lot of things in between, these artists are exceptional. That are able to create this kind of sort of believability in a totally digital world.
So there had Steven Spielberg talking about comparing his movie to Star Wars. And then, gosh, you jump over to the aforementioned Aquaman. Who's this? What's his name? Jason Moana?
Momoa.
Talking about his movie that's coming out. And this is from CinemaCon.
Hints of Star Wars. You know, we're underwater. Just these big, massive fights with all these creatures that are underwater. It's got that Avatar vibe where we've never been to this world before, right? We've been to space many times. No one's been underwater.
All right, so we've got a Star Wars comparison from Steven Spielberg, and we've got a Star Wars comparison from Jason Moana.
Momoa.
Moana. Moana! I'm stuck on the Disney stuff.
You are, man.
Man, I am a Disney... I'm Disney's bitch tonight,
Bob Iger loves you.
So I thought that was interesting.
That's why you got that big.
Everybody's comparing their movies to Star Wars.
Yeah.
So talking about Star Wars and movies.
Look, I need to say this about Spielberg. You can go jump on your train in a second. Hang on. The thing about Spielberg is he's always been kind of like a guy that talks against the digital realm. Mm-hmm. So to hear him talk about this, I don't know if have you all seen Ready Player One?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Yes, sir.
Yeah. So we didn't really talk about it because it's a Star Wars podcast, but I don't know. It's neat to see Spielberg coming into this side of it, but also I like the fact that he stays grounded in film and wants to keep things as real as possible. It's hard to hear him talk like that for me.
Hmm.
When he was a detractor for so long against this whole like blue screen, green screen world that Lucas was creating, whether they're friends or not, I like that he was the one that kept saying, look, film is the way that I've always done it, and I'm not, you know, trying to, you know, jump ship and go over here. I just want to keep things as real as possible. I like his ideas. I like his practical effects and all that stuff.
But, well, I'm a little bit upset with Steven Spielberg because Carl's Jr. reached out to him.
Uh-oh.
And they were going to come out with a new sandwich to promote. This is not a joke. This actually happened. To promote Ready Player One. They were calling it the Spielburger. And he nixed it. He didn't want to do that.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Spielburger.
Well, good on him.
Yeah. I thought that was funny.
Maybe he's a healthy eater and he didn't want to go with Carl's.
Yeah. So Bob Iger also announced, I will just one last plug for Mr. Iger.
Bob Iger
also announced that Paris Disneyland is getting a Star Wars land.
Oh.
So there's going to be three Star Wars lands.
I just
Anaheim, assumed, Florida, and Paris.
I thought they all had them. They don't just fall in line?
Not always.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to just relocate, you know, I don't know, like, what's it, 20 acres of land or something like that they're
building
that out on?
Well, I think they're building out, like, three new lands in Paris Disneyland. Two for the Avengers, I think, and one for Star Wars. Well,
yeah, I know that they're raising most of the Bugs Land in California Adventure to put in a Marvel land over on the California Adventure side.
Yes.
Oh, here in California?
Yep.
No. Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bugs Land is going away.
Contrary to popular belief, I'm not a huge Disney follower, so I don't know the concepts of their lands and the space available and all the different Disney parks around the
world. Where's Jackie Michelle when you need her?
Yeah, she's a Disney.
She's a Disneyite.
Yeah.
Disney-phile.
She's in San Diego doing her thing.
Well, former last week's guest host, Brad, is a big Disney guy too, isn't he?
He is a big Disney guy.
He has a podcast.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. What else do we have here? We've got a new book was announced. Well, it's not. It's been out there for a while, but it's getting more headlines now because we're getting closer to Solo, and that is Last Shot. Star Wars: The Last Shot is a historical look at Han Solo. I'm reading from The Verge.com. It says Han Solo's origins were well covered in the expanded universe novels. But now that they're no longer canon, Daniel Jose Older's new Star Wars book, Last Shot, has arrived. It takes another look at the youthful days of Han Solo and Lando Calrissian, as well as their more mature years in two adventures that take place both before and after the upcoming film. It's a fun, breezy read with plenty of humor, Ewok hackers, murderous robots, and rousing fight scenes. So, sounds like fun, and I will be definitely reading that one when it's available. Is that one out yet?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I'll confirm that for you real quick, though.
Okay, thanks. I saw an ad that showed this book has like a reversible jacket. So you can either have Han on your book jacket or Lando.
Hmm.
Kind of cool.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's coming soon if it's not out already.
I'm taking a new stance. Oh, yeah. Dave.
They did announce a non-Star Wars book today that is of note, I think, to science fiction fans.
They also announced what's not coming out this year too.
Yeah, you're reading my mind, Mr. Lent. But George R.R. Martin fans rejoice. There is a book on the publishing schedule from our favorite author, and it is set in Westeros, but It is not book six. It is a book called Fire and Blood. It is book one of the Targaryen saga.
Blood and Fire or something like that?
Fire and Blood.
Fire and Blood.
So yeah, he didn't have time to finish up The Winds of Winter, but yeah, he wrote that thing from scratch.
So is that going to branch off into a new series for those of us that don't read the Martin
book? It's a two-book series is what he's promised.
Okay.
It just lays out all the Targaryen stuff basically from the time they arrive in Westeros and conquer it up until Robert's Rebellion.
Okay. And he touched on in his blog post, he touched on the upcoming HBO series, but then had to quickly backtrack and say, I can't divulge anything, so this may or may not be what it's about. So
cannot confirm nor deny.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
And Last Shot comes out, looks like it's out now, because according to Amazon, I can have it delivered to my house by Friday.
Oh.
Hmm. Nice.
All right.
So I think I'm going to take a new stance on these new canon books. Hmm. But not a big change, but I am okay with the new stuff coming out. My problem, which has been stated before, is if you have to get the book. I'm okay with this Han Solo book, but if you have to get the book to fill in holes from the movie, I'm done with that. I'm really getting fed up. I'm going to start writing actual old-fashioned letters to Bob Iger.
Mm. Isn't that the way they always did it? I mean, the Tales from Mos Eisley and Splinter of the Mind's Eye and...
They wrote books that you didn't have to know about. They were just fun extra books.
All of the Boba Fett books. How many books has Boba Fett been in? A lot, right?
7, 8 books.
That was all stuff that wasn't in the movie.
Yeah, but it didn't.
How dare you bring logic into this?
No.
I don't know what foolish beat you're trying to lay down for Scott there, Greg Glenn, but. It's just not going to work.
I'm trying to get Scott to join our side.
I like how Greg's.
Together we will rule the galaxy.
Greg's tone changed. He became like the therapist. Like, you know, those books were always there. I love it.
What are you doing, the mind trick on me or something?
Well, you know, we talked about the Phasma book and the Leia book.
Yeah.
Last week or the show prior, that you know there were. Not necessarily gaps being filled in, but details that made the movies feel more rich because you had that extra history. And that's what this sounds like it's going to be for Solo.
Again, I'm good with that. Okay. I'm hoping it's a good book and it doesn't suddenly give you some plot point to a movie that we could have just had in the movie.
Yeah.
You know, Greg brought up Boba Fett, and there I mentioned it before on the cast. There was a great little series called Twin Engines of Destruction. With Boba Fett. You don't need to have that to know about Boba Fett and his character and the part that he plays in the movie. But it's a great little expanded story that gives you some background and some other fun stuff that, again, doesn't directly connect to the plot and the storyline of his character. Hmm. Let's keep it that
way. Are you sure Twin Engines of Destruction is not your favorite porn movie?
Oh. Nice.
Actually it is, Greg. It has Stormy Daniels in it.
Oh, man, I still have to cue up some porn music when we go here.
I'm bringing my CDs in.
You need to. Yeah. Will you bring that over?
Yeah, definitely.
All right, so we can borrow it.
You need to
not
rip,
burn it and steal it. And
rip it, man.
Just borrowing it.
No, no, no. Copy
borrow
it
for the show.
Borrow for the for there yes, professional.
All right. Last story here for Disney. So this is from let's see, thathashtagshow.com. Claims to have an exclusive story about Disney casting or having an open casting call for a female lead, 40 to 50 years old, to play a character named Mara for episode 9.
Nine!
So, of course, fans of the Extended Universe and Heir to the Empire series, Timothy Zahn, knows... full well that Mara Jade was a huge character in those books.
Huge.
And character. It's been long, long time that fans have longed for Mara.
You're going with this.
I don't know, long to be in a Star Wars film. And so I'm curious to see, hear what you guys think about this. Is Mara Jade going to be in episode 9?
You know, her story was so tightly woven in with Luke's story, though. I don't think it's impossible, but I don't see how you bring her back in without, you know, it being some huge flashback to a Luke story.
Hmm. Yeah.
I just don't see how, when you consider that Rey was cast with a code name other than Rey, even though nobody would have known what the significance of Rey was, I just find it hard to believe that if they are introducing Mara Jade, that they're calling it out as Mara on the casting list. I just don't buy it. It got my heart all afloat because Mara Jade really is one of my three favorite characters from the expanded universe.
Yeah.
Thrawn and Talon Card being the other two, but I just don't see them being that careless with it.
Thrawn and everybody else that was in the courtship of Princess Leia being number two.
So reading a little bit more, it says it's common practice for films to use code names during the casting process, and that could be the case here. To be clear, we're only able to confirm that they're looking to fill the role of a female lead who they are calling Mara. So they are using the name Mara. If not, that's some pretty interesting deception they're using there.
Yeah, it could just be something to throw fans off.
Yeah.
But if they did do this, I mean, they did the stuff with Thrawn in that cartoon series. What is it? I'm not watching it. I'm sorry. You guys are into it.
Rebels?
Yeah, the Rebels show. I have not been into it, and I know it's been like kind of crazy this season, right? The final one, they're tying it in.
I have not watched a single episode of the last season, which is complete now, by the way. The series is officially over, and I haven't watched any of it yet. I just haven't gotten around to it yet.
But my thing with Mara Jade is if you try and pull that character in, there is so much history with her and her relationship with Luke, and the relationship that she actually has such a huge tie-in to Return of the Jedi and the Emperor himself. So that whole, what was she, the Emperor's Hand, there was a six-issue limited series, comic book series, that's just fantastic, that really gives a lot of backstory to who she was, why she was really hunting down Luke Skywalker in the Heir to the Empire trilogy. Really look it up, find it. It's well worth a read. Pick it up.
Cool.
Yeah.
Good tip. We need to have a book list or comic list. We need to publish that somewhere, maybe on our blog.
So many. I know Dave is the one that goes with the books. And Dave, are you into all the comics too?
Some of the comics, yeah.
Yeah. I think putting us all together, we could probably come up with a hell of a list.
Yeah.
I mean, just ones personally that we've read and gone through. But
we need to do like a top 10 Wretched Hive books or comics.
Yeah.
For reading. Or maybe we'll do books and then comics, because there's a lot of books.
There's a lot of comics. There's a lot of comics.
Well, no show is complete with a little salt and pepper, I think. So we need to bust this out. Inverse.com has a great clip. Some brilliant fan put the Solo trailer to Salt and Pepper's Push It.
I guess they couldn't get the rights to Sabotage.
Exactly. Check this out.
I'm just glad they switched it up from Sabotage. I was happy to hear that, actually.
I still want to get like some Merchant Ivory movie trailers from the 1990s and just recut them to Sabotage, because I'm pretty sure it would be awesome.
Merchant Ivory films, that's great. You know somebody just put that together because he says push it in that one sequence.
Of course.
That's the only reason why.
But it works. All right, there was one last story here, guys, and this is a new video that was released this week. This is so fascinating. Somebody put together an hour and a half, hour 46 minutes of nothing but Star Wars history on television.
Oh, yeah.
You have television ads, interviews, spots that just the most random stuff. Some of it, I haven't watched the whole thing.
Oh.
Some of it I recognized, I remember, but most of it I do not. And I've seen a lot of Star Wars stuff. I pulled out a couple of choice moments here, guys. I think you were the one that shared this on our thread, right, Scott?
I don't know if I was the one that shared it, but I want to say that Dave, was it you that shared it or Greg?
That shared what?
This nothing but Star Wars TV experience that you can watch. Let's just jump.
It was not me.
I don't think it was me.
Was it me?
I drank a lot over the weekend, so yeah. It might have been me.
Okay. Well,
posting random shit all over the internet.
Well, no offense, but Chris's idea of going to breakfast is, hey, a brewery opened at 10 a.m. Let's go there.
Excuse me. We show up to the airport. It's 8:30, and I'm walking through security, and I get this text message. There's a bar by the gate. Dave had 3 beers ordered before 9 a.m.
That's just saying. Awesome.
Anyway.
These wusses didn't want to do shots with me at 8 in the morning.
I wish I would have been there. I would have been doing time. Shots.
I know you would have done a shot with me, Greg and Scott. I know you guys would have.
Oh, yeah. Shot nothing, man. I would have taken the goddamn bottle and just chugged that thing right there. Let's get on the plane, guys.
And by the way, because we bought a beer, the bartender's like, I'll give you the shots at half price.
Damn.
In my defense, I had no food. My first food that morning
That's
was
beer.
That's
why you do it. Oh, my God.
All right, so.
Get your ship out.
So you lost your chance talking about it. I'm moving on.
I watched this whole thing. Let's play.
Did you really?
I did.
Let's play this first clip. This is about a minute long. This is an interview with Mark Hamill from 1977.
So long ago, 20th Century Fox released a film called Star Wars. It hit the silver screens of the West End in quite a big way. The film was not so much a piece of science fiction, more an unusual form of space fairy story. Earlier this year, I talked to Mark Hamill, who, if nothing else, proved to me that modesty is not counted as one of his major virtues. I asked him to begin by explaining how Luke Skywalker gets involved in all the adventures he does.
He's sort of swept up unawares. There are small creatures on my planet. They're called Jawas, and they're sort of scavengers of the desert.
First of all, I got to say, I love how he talks about it. He says, Luke gets swept away, and then he says, there are small creatures on my planet.
Yeah.
I think it's funny.
I love that they go into the deleted clip right here.
Right. So yeah. What you don't see here is in the background, they're showing the deleted scene that was never in theaters, to my knowledge.
Yeah.
Of Luke playing with his binoculars and fixing a, what is it?
Pusher evaporator.
Yeah, exactly. And looking up, and he sees the Star Destroyer in this atmosphere. So, yeah. Anyway.
And this is the famous Treadwell droid, which you only get to see in the background, I think, in the actual theatrical cut. And he's wearing his fisherman floppy hat, which is awesome.
With the goggles. That's awesome. All right, let's continue here.
When they discover robots that are not properly identified, they clean them up and sell them door-to-door android salesmen. And I purchased 2 robots that have hidden rebel tapes that, even now, as I'm trying to explain the plot, it's only so much nonsense to...
Little dig into George there for the writing.
Hang a incredible visual experience, an audio experience.
Anyway, you got to watch this whole thing. It's I don't know if you got to watch the whole thing, but you can fast forward almost to anywhere in this hour and 40-minute video, and you just got some gems. I'm going to play one more clip here, Scott.
Okay, yeah. I just want to point out that interviewer, and I love all of our British fans. Thank you, everyone in the UK.
Oh, fans in the UK, we love you guys.
We really do. I need to set this up because, my God, Spicoli had it right. You are a dick, the way you're talking to him. Oh, what an ass. Anyway, I know it was 77. Whatever.
What do you say? Humility isn't his strong point.
Whatever, man.
This next one will be on a show bumper sometime. I love George.
I am always thinking of new dreams.
George Lucas.
I dream of visions which have yet to be seen. Which have not yet been
heard.
From dreams,
聞いたことのない音を現実の形にしてきた。
I think that's playing in Mala's little hollow pod that Lumpy was watching with Diane Carroll. That's the George Lucas version is what it is.
Yeah,
did he say nude dreams?
What makes it even worse, if you are not seeing the video, is what George is doing. He's in a wheat field in a black shirt and tie, and he's waving little pieces of wheat or those, what are those things, the lion's tail? Or
yeah,
he's got this stupid grin on his face. It's an unbelievable clip.
I can't really explain it. And just to prove my point about that, you can fast forward or you know, scroll through this video and just land anywhere you want, and it's going to be something genius.
Yeah. Oh wait.
I'm just gonna do this really quick. I'm just gonna put it in the middle somewhere. Let's just drop it in right here. Here we go.
3PO is just a hunk of plastic, and without Tony Daniels in there, it just isn't anything at all.
This is 3PO doing a dance with Kermit the Frog. Yeah,
3PO dancing with Kermit.
Lucky I once saw a Fred Astaire film.
Okay, so that previous sequence with the music and everything that's going on with Lucas in this wheat field. Seriously, yeah. It's a wheat field of some sort. It doesn't even look real. To me, it looks like a scene or a clip from that movie, if you've all seen this, called George Lucas in Love. It doesn't feel real to me, and it's just hilarious. We could totally re-edit that movie. If you haven't seen it, please go out and see this. Seek it out. Find it. George Lucas in Love is great, but that feels like an actor playing Lucas. They said, okay, we're going to get this really cool artistic shot of you out in a wheat field picking one of the pieces of wheat and flicking it around your face while we have this overdub of Japanese dialogue. It's amazing.
it's strong.
Take the time and watch it. It's great wasted time.
It's weird and... Yeah. Funny and just bizarre and kind of cringy, all together at the same time.
Oh yeah,
it's very interesting. Nico is trying to dial in.
It looks like he is
not really trying.
Ah, yeah! Nico, welcome, sir.
Wait.
Nice final thoughts, Nico. Final thoughts.
We're not there yet.
We need Dave's input. Dave, what are we now tonight? Are we?
We're 5x5.
Woo!
We are 5x5, mofos. And that means it's time for this. It's the Star Wars Tweet of the Week.
Yahoo! Really?
Curious.
Because everybody knows that Twitter is a source of endless positivity.
You're gravely mistaken.
Come to your senses!
Well, there are a few Twitter accounts that are kind of funny. Sometimes. Greg, what do you got for us this week?
I'm going to get started here in just a second, but before we hit the music for the very end of the show, I have one more story that I would at least like to start talking about this week, so I'm going to bring it up. But first, we've got to get to some serious, serious business here, guys. I've gone back to the well, back to Very Lonely Luke. And the reason I've done it is because I thought he did a pretty good one this week. It reminds me that in these trying times we all live in, we all got to remember that we got to look for be on the positive side. Here it is. From April the 19th, guys. Very Lonely Luke says, I think that my dad would be proud of me. I'm on top of an island with steep cliffs all around me. I will forever have the high ground.
Nice. Oh, excellent.
Well done. Well done.
Well done, VLL.
That is solid.
All right, Greg, you have another story you wanted to get to.
I do, and it's kind of a story that broke kind of today, I think, being Wednesday, April the 25th today, that is. There was an interview with Alden Ehrenreich where he has disclosed that he has a contract for the Solo movie, and it is for more than one Solo movie.
It's not a Solo contract, as it turns out.
Not a Solo movie contract, as it turns out. So
a trilogy of Solos? No kidding.
I think fantastic. That, you know, it's pretty standard fare for them to sign these guys up. Like, I'm sure there were a multi-picture deal for the Golden Compass when that piece of shit came out, but that only had one that arrived with it. But how many more Solos are we going to see? How much more Donald Glover do we need as Lando Calrissian?
A lot.
As much as they want to give us. That's the answer to that question.
Well, the internet seems to want a trio of Donald Glover movies, right?
More so than the movies, but we still have to wait and see.
Well, the other story I wanted to get to now that we mentioned, and I've got another one, and that is I wanted to hear about your Last Jedi situation.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I forgot all about
that.
Yeah,
I think we're going to let you off the hook for that. Let's hear what happened.
So, I would like to officially announce I still do not own a copy of The Last Jedi. Any copy, digital, VHS, you name it, I don't have it. However,
fake news.
I do have no fake news on this one. I'm sorry. I do have a copy, so to speak, of the action figure of what's his name? Gold LeMay.
Snoke.
Yeah, see, I don't even care about the character anymore.
Liberace.
So you bought an action figure.
Yeah. That's the only
like
last...
a 3 3/4 or like black series, or what'd you buy?
Yeah, the new vintage series. I went out and picked up the 6 action figures that were released.
Oh, okay.
And I gotta say, I have stopped the action figure collection for quite a while now. It's been at least 3-4 years. But this new series picks up where the last one left off, and it's the first official Last Jedi merchandise that I own. So that's it.
So why? What prompted you to buy to go out and buy the set?
I really liked what Hasbro did with the original series. It's been an ongoing weird series that were like limited release figures, a set of 6, a set of 10, and that was it. And they stopped it. And then they did an entire series where they actually released, God, I'm going to say probably about 60 figures. Really decent articulation in the figures. Really great sculpts. they used the original card backs, but the backside of them, they did a more modern take on it. This one, I'm happy to say, it's almost a complete replica of the original 1978 action figures. Mm. You flip it over, you actually have that solid color backdrop with the little action figures in poses. It's fantastic.
So it's the classic card.
It's the classic card, nice. Which all the other vintage cards had, but on the backside, it was a modern take on it.
Mm.
They had a really cool concept where they would show you the new versus the original card that came out if it was a card. If it was an action figure from like 1978, 82, they showed you a comparison between the two. This one, they're actually using the original vintage backing. So you actually get them all set up. The 6 figures on the initial release are on the original blue, green, yellow little back. It looks original. It's fantastic. Hasbro did a bang up job. The action figures are great. It comes with Kylo Ren, Snoke, Hoth Rebel Soldier. It was a weird choice. Rey, Jyn Erso.
Did you say Hoth Rebel Soldier?
Yeah. It's like a no-name soldier. It is not...
From Hoth?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, they had just... He looked kind of like Luke. There was a Luke Hoth figure that had like a scarf like blowing in the wind, and he looks like that, just minus the scarf.
That's it. And and then the last one was the new stormtroopers.
Okay.
The First Order stormtrooper.
So, Scott, was Snoke the first one that you picked up, or
no? He was the last one.
Oh, because I know whenever you look at Snoke, you get lost in his eyes.
Dave, I thought of you when I was picking him up, and I looked at Snoke in that gold LeMay outfit, and I honest to God kept thinking he would look so great on my shelf next to the, what was it, Supreme Bean from Battlestar Galactica with the big bulbous head.
Yeah. And the purple thing.
Yeah, purple and red cloak or something. Those two should have a dance off or something. But no. And I mean, they still did a great job with the character, the design, everything, the sculpt, the articulation's great. Everything on them so far is fantastic.
So here's something I didn't know, just to loop it back to Rancho Obi-Wan and the famed Boba Fett missile launching prototype.
Yes.
That was not scrapped because – I had always thought it was scrapped because of testing that they did with the prototype, and they realized that the missile was a choking hazard.
Yeah.
They were telling us on the tour that it was because of a Battlestar Galactica toy that had a launching missile similar to the Boba Fett thing that a kid choked on, and Kenner immediately said, well – that's out. We clearly can't do that anymore.
Yeah. Do you know what the toy was?
Yeah, it was the Viper.
I thought it was the Cylon
Viper.
Ship. It wasn't?
You thought it was what, Scott?
I thought it was the Cylon fighter, the ship. It wasn't. It was
that
the Viper.
Thing was cool.
No, I'm pretty sure. Well, I could be wrong. I don't want to say that this is definitively it, but I was under the impression that the Viper had the missile that shot out of the very front, the tip of the tip of it. You know, it looked like a sex toy, and it shot a little red pellet out of the top.
Out of the tip, huh?
Oh my god! I can't believe you brought that up. That's hilarious. It does look like a sex toy.
Yeah, I thought that was the reason why the Boba Fett thing got changed last minute.
Yeah,
that was my impression.
You might be right, Greg. It was definitely one of the ships. I thought it was the Cylon, because the Cylon fighter had it out of the two sides. They kind of popped open, and they had two missiles that came out the side. Yeah, no, it wasn't because the toy actually choked anyone. It was because of another line. So, and there's what? There were 10, he said? I thought it was around 10.
For the first release?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
oh, nice.
And there's two different types of Boba Fett action figures. Did he talk about that? I'm curious. There's the certain type of, like, L-hook, and then there's a J-hook.
Yes, he did. He has both.
He has one of each.
Of course.
Yeah. And one has...
Damn you, Steve!
Damn you, Steve Sansweet!
I wish listeners could have seen the look of disgust and just a little bit of jealousy that was on Scott's face with that.
I am. He's got one up on me.
Well, I'm sure you could probably twist Dave and mine arms to accompany you if you ever want to get up there.
Oh, I'll be going up there. We'll go together. I was so seriously bummed to not go, but we'll do it.
Let's do it.
I want to thank Nico for joining us tonight. Good to have you here, as always.
Glad to be here.
It's nice glad to be recovered.
Nice to get home early enough to be able to make it.
I assume that work has been going well?
It's going.
Good.
Summertime is a busy time for us. We're a restaurant right on our back patio is active. So sometimes I'm busy.
All right. All right. Well, I am glad you are there, and that's good. You are doing what you should be doing, young man. And if you have ever not done what you should be doing, give us a call on the Red Shot Dive hotline and let us hear about it. That's 562-455-4483. That's 562-455-HIVE. That's HIVE, in case you can't spell hive. You can also find us online at www.thewretchedhive.net. Download our app. Go to the Apple App Store. Search for The Wretched App. You can stream the show, read all the show notes, play clips from the show, and find out about special events that are coming up. And it's free.
Free!
You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/WretchedHivePodcast. On Instagram now, we've been putting stuff on Instagram at it's the Wretched Hive 77. Tweet us at Wretch Hive Pod and find us on iTunes. Hey, by the way, thank you so much for the kind reviews on iTunes. We really appreciate it. Really helps us out. If you get a chance, go to the show on iTunes, subscribe to the show, leave a review. Really helps us out. We prefer the 5 stars, but 1 star, whatever. We don't care. Just leave a review. We want to connect with you, fans of the Wretched Hive Podcast. Guys, episode 60 is in the books. Any final thoughts?
I made it.
Avengers Assemble this weekend, guys.
Yes.
Avengers Assemble.
I'm doing shots before the Avengers, so whoever wants to join me, just come down. Come on down.
Just get
this Banner Shield.
Guys, have a great week and may the Force be with us all.
Always.